If you've been thinking of taking a family trip to Disney, but maybe you've been a little overwhelmed by the details or how to make it work with kids, especially highly sensitive kids, then this episode is for you, as I am going to share how we made Disney work with three highly sensitive kids and made it a really fun and wonderful experience. Let's get into it. Parenting is the hardest job ever, and parenting a highly sensitive child who's struggling can feel downright impossible. If you're suffering through endless meltdowns, walking on eggshells, and losing sleep worrying, you've landed in the right place. Because I'm here to help you feel good about parenting your highly sensitive child. I'm Dr. Hillary, clinical psychologist and mom of three, and you're listening to the Raised Resilient podcast, where I help you make sense of your child's challenging behaviors and build resilience in the face of their big emotions. So warm up your coffee and grab your earbuds. It's time to turn your child's sensitivity into their superpower. Hey friend, welcome back to Raised Resilient and to one of my parenting reflections episodes where I share a little snippet of my own real life parenting to hopefully help you feel a little less alone in your struggles and to hopefully allow my wins to inspire you to have some wins of your own. We took our first family trip to Disney in January while my kids were tracked out from year-round school, and it was so much fun. I am already thinking of like, how can we get back and when can we go back? How soon? Because it was really, really fun. And honestly, surprisingly so, because not that I didn't think Disney would be fun and I had been to Disney as a kid, but I was a little overwhelmed at the idea of doing it with my family and having to keep up with my kids. And what if they were hot and overwhelmed? And what if it wasn't fun? And of course, on some level, I knew that the magic of Disney would make it fun for the kids, but I didn't know how much fun I would have and how much fun my husband would have. But like, we all had a blast. So I wanted to share our experience with you and share some of the things that we did to make the trip a little bit smoother, especially with three highly sensitive kids. But before I get into that, I just wanted to remind you that I am doing a giveaway to incentivize you to take the time out of your busy day and leave a review for this podcast. When new parents stumble upon this podcast, parents who haven't listened to it before, it is so important that there are not only reviews, but recent reviews of other parents letting them know, hey, this is going to be helpful and you should listen. It's one of the most powerful ways that new listeners find the podcast. So I wanted to incentivize you to actually do this because I know it involves more than just listening, right? You have to go out of your way to actually do it. So I so appreciate you taking that time. And if you do leave a review of the podcast between now and May 22nd, and you send me a screenshot of that review, either through DM on Instagram at Raised Resilient or through email, Dr. Hillary, DRHILARY at RaisedResilient.com, or you can also enter by going into the Facebook group. If you're a member, of course, if you're not a member, you should totally join us, but you can also enter the giveaway by posting a screenshot of your review and tagging me in the Facebook group. So that's a third way that you can enter. And if you're not a member of the Facebook group, you can join at facebook.com/groups/raisedresilient. Then you will be entered into a giveaway and I will choose the winner at random on May 23rd. That's a Thursday. So you have to enter between now and May 22nd. And if you win, you will win your choice of a sensory kit from Young, Wild, and Friedman. And I have no financial relationship to Young, Wild, and Friedman. I just love their sensory kits. My kids absolutely adore them. My kids all the way from 3 up to 9.5 use them all the time. So a sensory bin from Young, Wild, and Friedman would be such a fun addition to any playroom. So I wanted to give you the chance to win one. You will get to choose which one you want. And they have so many fun different kinds. I think we have one that is unicorns. We have a dinosaur one. We have a pirate one with all this treasure and stuff. And then we have one that is spring themed. So they literally have anything you could think of. And so for the winner of the giveaway, I will ship a sensory bin of your choosing to your home for your child to enjoy. And maybe you bonus get to enjoy your coffee hot while your child plays with it. So win-win. I so appreciate in advance you taking the time to leave a review. And again, you have between now and May 22nd. So go forth and leave reviews. Thank you so much. Let's make this fun. And I will announce the winner on May 23rd. Okay, so let's talk about doing Disney with highly sensitive kids. And listen, anything that I'm talking about here would apply in any other theme park or water park setting where there's a lot of people. But I know a lot of you have been thinking about doing Disney because people reach out to me all the time and ask about it. I know this is something some of you actually have trips planned coming up because that's also something you've shared with me. And with summer right around the corner, I know some of you already have trips planned. So if this is something that is in your near future, this episode hopefully will be really helpful to you. Okay, so yeah, we took our kids to Disney for the first time in January. And it's something that I had been wanting to do for a while. And I knew that I probably would need to take my daughter again because she was not even three when we went. She probably won't remember all the details, but I knew if I waited too much longer, then my nine-year-old would not be able to enjoy it as much as he would at nine, right? If we waited until he was like 14 before we went to Disney for the first time, not that he wouldn't enjoy it, but that I felt like he would enjoy it more when he was younger. So I wanted to give him that experience. And then also we can take my daughter again someday when she's a little bit older. And kids two and under do get in free to pretty much everything. And it worked out really well because my daughter was 1 month shy of turning three. So she got into everything for free, but then she was also tall enough to actually ride some things. So that was super fun. Okay, so the first thing that we did that I think was really helpful is we prepared the kids for the trip, right? So we told them about it. We showed them videos of where we were going to be staying. We showed them videos of the parks. We talked about what would be fun, what rides they were interested in riding. And of course, they had heard from friends, oh, this one's really fun, or we should totally ride Slinky Dog, or, you know, whatever. So that was fun. And it was a good way to prepare and kind of know what to expect. We also let them know that there were going to be a lot of people there. It might be noisy. It might be overwhelming. We might need to take breaks and go back to the hotel room. And that was totally okay if we needed to do that. We prepared them for the fact that it was going to be a long drive because we did choose to drive. Of course, if you choose to fly, there's going to be different considerations with that too that are separate of driving. But one of the things that we let them know was that, you know, we are going to be in the car for a long time. And so let's think about what we can do in the car to keep ourselves busy. What can we do if we're having, you know, an argument with a sibling? How can we get help? What kind of books do you want to bring in the car to read? What kind of music do you want to listen to, etc.? And then we also did some things to set the kids up for success. Now, some of these things require you to put in some more money. And so I do want to throw that out there up front that, in my opinion, going to Disney, especially with kids, was a situation where if you're willing and able to put a little bit more money behind the trip, there are certain things that are just going to make your life so much easier. Now, obviously, that's not always an option, but what I learned is that if you're gonna go, it's almost like go big or go home. And I hate to say it that way, but truly, I really feel like there's certain things that are going to make your experience better if you have the ability to just go ahead and plan and budget for these extra things. And so some of those things for us were that we did break up the drive on the way there and on the way back. So we spent an extra night in a hotel. And yes, that was more money, but it was so helpful to not have to drive 10 hours straight. Down 95. It would have been so much more miserable to try to do that, to cram the entire drive into one day with three kids in the car. So we stopped in, I think, Savannah, Georgia on the way down, and then outside of Charleston, South Carolina on the way back because my brother lives there. So we were able to see him, and that was nice. They had a brand new baby at the time. So we did still stay in a hotel, but we got to see my brother, which was cool. So if you are driving, making that part of your vacation, making it part of the experience and planning to stop if you know that your kids don't do well with long car drives, that is something to consider. We also, instead of all five of us staying in one hotel room, we actually, while at Disney, booked two rooms at the resort. And again, I know that's a decent amount of extra money, but for us, that was so worth it because everybody slept better when all five of us were not crammed into one hotel room. We did also stay on property. So again, more money and expenses piling up, but it was so worth it to just be able to go out and go straight to the park without having to drive there, to get on the monorail and go to the park and be able to come back and take a break in the middle of the day if we wanted to. That was super, super helpful, especially with kids. And then the last thing that we did that did require us to put some money behind it was to do Genie Plus and to get the lightning lanes for certain rides that we really wanted to ride. Genie Plus is actually kind of a whole thing. There's a learning curve to using it. And so I actually kind of crammed for the test, so to speak, the night before we went to the parks for the first time and was up until like 3 in the morning figuring out how to do Genie Plus. I don't recommend that. Like, maybe take the time to read a few blog posts on it ahead of time. I actually bought, I think it was like a $30 online course that taught me how to use it. And that was actually really valuable. I actually stayed up till 3 a.m. using that course, that online course, to help me understand how to use Genie Plus. But you totally don't need to do that. Just, you know, prepare ahead. I didn't. You should. Highly recommend not learning it at 2 a.m. before you go to the parks for the first time. But that's what I did. But anyway, having to wait in line with highly sensitive kids when they're hot and overwhelmed and overstimulated is the worst. And I'll tell you that with Genie Plus and learning how to use it effectively, like, we didn't wait in line for anything more than maybe 20 minutes. Disney also has a really cool rider swap option that does not require any extra money. It's just something that you can do if, say, you have two kids and two parents and one child is too small or too young to ride something, then both of you can go with your older child who is old enough and you don't have to wait in line again. So you check in at the beginning, you let them know we want to do a rider swap, and then one parent goes with the child and then the next parent gets to go with the child and skip the line. So that was amazing, especially having my daughter there who was too small and too young to ride a lot of things. And that way, my husband and I didn't have to miss out on riding things just because one of us had to stay back with her. So those are the ways that we spent a little bit extra money to make the trip a little bit easier with kids. And I really was grateful in the end that we did that. And again, if that's an option for you to budget for those things, and maybe that means you put your trip off for a couple months longer than otherwise you would, but I highly recommend, if that is at all doable for you, to consider those things. So the next thing that we did that I felt like was really helpful was we went into each day being flexible about our expectations. So for my husband and I, we had an idea of the things that we wanted to do. We had the day kind of laid out in our minds, and we actually had done some dining reservations ahead of time. But we knew that ultimately, if our kids were not feeling it, if they were struggling, that we were going to go back to the resort and just hang out for a little while and have some downtime. And we were okay with that. So for example, one day it started to pour, as it often does in Florida, even in January. And out of nowhere, it started to rain. We were all not really feeling getting soaked. And so we got back on the monorail, went back to the resort, and then we're actually able to swim a little bit in some of the heated pools, which was really fun. And so even though we didn't stay at the park as long as we wanted to that first day, we still had fun. And we did it in a way that worked better with what the kids were capable of that day. Or another example, I know for me, I really wanted to see the fireworks live at least once because it is a really cool experience. If you have not experienced it, I highly recommend it. But I knew there was no way that my kids were going to hang from, you know, 9 a.m. until 9 p.m. in the parks. There was just no way we were doing that without a break. And we actually, on that day, had reservations at Snow White's Dining at Artist Point. It's a really cool character dining experience, and I was really looking forward to it. And I knew that if we squeezed that in, there was just no way the kids would be able to hang for fireworks. So instead, we pivoted, we canceled the reservation, we went back to the resort, we ordered some food at the local little restaurant and brought it back to the room and just ate and relaxed and then went back for the fireworks. And oh my goodness, it was so the right decision. Like, I still want to go back and try the Artist Point character dining experience. I think that would be so fun, but it was just not in the cards this time. And you know what? That had to be okay, because when you try to push things with kids, especially highly sensitive kids, you are so much more likely to deal with meltdown after meltdown. I would absolutely, as a parent, expect some meltdowns. Learn to know your child's signs of when they're starting to get overwhelmed, overstimulated. There are lots of places at Disney where you can go and sit in the shade where it's a little quieter, out of the way, and you can just have a few minutes of downtime to kind of regroup. I found that it was also helpful to have a little snack when we would go and sit down for a few minutes. So I brought some snacks into the park. I brought some meat sticks, and what else did I bring? Some nuts, some things that had some protein in it, so that my kids weren't just living on park snacks, which are mostly carbs and sugar, right? Not that you can't get protein in the parks, but what are my kids going to choose? They're going to choose ice cream. They're going to choose a funnel cake, whatever, right? They're not choosing the protein-filled snack. So I wanted them to have some protein in their bodies so that their sugar wasn't just going straight through them. And I wanted to make sure that our blood sugar levels stayed steady so that we had the energy to keep enjoying the parks after that. So I highly recommend bringing some snacks from home and considering building in some protein-filled snack breaks, even if you also do a sugary snack. That's totally fine. But having protein first can be really helpful and stabilize the blood sugar, and eating is regulating to the nervous system. So I found that to be a really helpful thing as we were navigating the parks, is just to build in some little breaks. And I didn't schedule them. I just kind of went off of what my kids needed. I could tell when they were needing a minute. And so we would just do that every so often. And that worked out really well. We did have a few moments that were, you know, meltdowns, or mostly what it was my boys arguing with each other. That's really how it came out on this particular trip. And whenever that happened, we would just gently help them separate. My husband would take one, I would take the other. We'd sit in a quiet part of the park for a few minutes, maybe let them share what happened, and then we would move on. So if your child is struggling, I highly recommend taking a break, giving them a minute, validating what they're experiencing, and then checking in. Maybe do they need a snack? Do they need a minute to sit in a shady location? And then I wanted to also talk about rides, because a lot of times kids can struggle with trying new things and attempting to ride something that maybe feels a little scary. And this is especially true for highly sensitive kids. So my middle child is a sensory seeker. He loves rides. He got on Tower of Terror with me and like didn't blink an eye. So he is very special in that regard. And that was really fun for me because I love to ride rides. But my oldest is definitely a little more hesitant when it comes to riding new things. And so my middle child would always raise his hand and volunteer to be the kid who goes twice for rider swap. My oldest was like, I don't want to agree to go twice if I'm not even sure if I'm going to like it when I go once, which was, I thought, really good self-awareness. But there were a couple times that he was really trying to decide whether to ride something. So how do you support a child in that moment? Because we don't want to push them and be like, just ride it. You'll love it. It's fine. Because what if they don't? We also don't want to have a kid leave with regrets if maybe they just needed a little bit of a push, a gentle push to get on the ride. So how do you balance that? So one thing that I found really helpful is just asking my son, how do you want to feel after you ride this? How do you think you will feel? And how will you feel if you leave the park not having ridden it? Are you going to regret that? And so using that framework, he was able to make decisions that I really think were the best decisions for him. So for example, he hates elevators. So no way was he going to have fun riding Tower of Terror. And so when he told me, you know what, that doesn't seem like it's for me, I said, you know what, I think that's probably, knowing you, that's probably true. If you change your mind, I'll ride it with you. But you know, I think listen to your body. But for Slinky Dog, I knew he really wanted to ride it. Same for Seven Dwarves Mine Train. He really wanted to ride it, but he was a little bit cautious and hesitant. And so we talked about it. How do you want to feel if you leave here without riding it? How are you going to feel? Well, my friend said it was really fun. I think I would regret it. Okay. So then you're going to feel a little bit of worry because you've not ridden it before. That makes sense. So you can hold that worry and you can hold on to the excitement of, I'm going to ride a ride that I'm probably going to like. And then if you don't like it, you never have to ride it again. So he did ultimately end up riding both the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and the Slinky Dog roller coaster. And he loved both of them so much. He is so glad he rode them. So that was really helpful for me to have that framework of how to help him think through and feel through these decisions. The last thing I'll share is a story about something that happened to my middle child while we were at Disney. This is not directly related to Disney. It happened at Disney, but it's not necessarily going to be applicable to your trip. It might be, but I'll share this just in case it helps you. So my seven-year-old really, really, really loves his stuffed dogs. He has a collection of probably 20 of them. They all have names. A lot of them are named after dogs in our family. So either us or our extended family, dogs that have passed away. And so they're really special to him and he really cherishes them. So maybe you can see where this is going, but ultimately we lost one of his dogs while we were at Disney and he was devastated. And, you know, the resort was so wonderful. They actually gave him a voucher to go and get a new animal from one of their gift shops, which he did. And he got a little Stitch and it was so cute and he loves it, but it wasn't the dog that he lost. And I thought about, can I go on Amazon and get another one? But here's the thing, and this is really important. It wasn't something that I could fix. It wasn't something that I needed to fix. That's not what he needed. My child literally cried for an hour about this dog. He laid in bed and he sobbed. He was so sad. And I couldn't fix that, nor would it have been helpful, nor is it my job to fix his feelings. And so, no, getting the stitch from the gift shop didn't make it better. And if I had tried to replace the dog with one that looked just like it, it wouldn't have made it better. He was grappling with all these feelings about losing this precious dog that represented other losses that he has faced in his life. And so he was grieving. And so, yes, we were at the happiest place on earth, and my son spent an hour crying in his bed, and we just validated. We rubbed his back. We told him, that is so sad. You're wondering about where your dog is now. He kept saying things like, I wonder if someone's stepping on it. What if it's cold and lonely? He was having so many feelings about this. And we had to just let those feelings be. If we had said something like, why are you still upset about this? You have a new animal. Listen, we got to get over this. We're at the happiest place on earth. Let's smile and try to have fun. That would have been so invalidating and damaging to this poor kid who was just feeling his feelings very appropriately. So we just told him, this makes sense. We get it. It makes so much sense that you're sad, and there's nothing that can fix this or replace it, and that's okay. That's hard, but that's okay. And we had to just let his feelings be. So I've done a whole episode on vacations with kids. Go back and listen to that. I go into detail on the different steps we can take to prepare kids, to help kids. But one thing that I just want to drive home, whether you're at Disney or on any other trip with your family, even though you have spent so much time and money and energy making this wonderful vacation happen for your family, understand that feelings are going to happen and it's not your job to fix them. And your child having big feelings while you're on your wonderful trip does not negate the wonderful trip that you're having. It doesn't mean that your child is ungrateful. It doesn't mean that you're not doing your job as a parent. You've just got to let those feelings be. Things are going to happen. Things are going to come up. And just because you're on vacation doesn't mean that your child is going to be happy 100% of the time. And so really, really, really have the mindset that feelings are okay. Even on vacation, feelings are normal. They make sense. So those are my thoughts on doing Disney with kids and especially highly sensitive kids. I feel like I could talk so much more about this. So if you have specific questions, let me know. Post in the Facebook group. Email me, Dr. Hillary, drhillary at raisedresilient.com, and I will talk more about this if that would be helpful to you. So that brings me to the end of today's episode. I hope this was helpful. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to leave your reviews and send me screenshots either through Facebook, through email, or through Instagram, and I will catch you in the next episode. Want to continue the conversation and connect with other parents who get it? Join our free Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/raisedresilient. I can't wait to see you in there. And if you loved today's episode, I'd be so honored if you'd share it with a friend who needs it. Thanks for listening. And until next time, we've got this.